Great American Beer present stories from America's foremost authors. Stories of trial and endeavor, of the courage of people. Stories from Carling Country.
Tonight, we bring you a story of the sea and the men who sail on her in The Man from Oregon. A fascinating tale of mystery and suspense from Carling Country.
In the Transvaal, swept through the Orange Free State like a prairie fire, then set Natal alight and glowing. Now headed for the Cape Province like Halley's Comet is the beer that has won over the taste of men. America's lusty, lively Carling Black Label. Man, oh man, wait till you pop your first easy-to-open ring pull can. Then you'll know what real beer's all about. Strong, husky, lusty to the last lively drop. This is the man's brand. America's own Carling Black Label beer. Now brewing in the eastern and western Cape and on sale soon. Get to know it and you'll stay with it. It's that sort of beer. Carling's Extra Strength Black Label beer.
Characters. Theirs is certainly a world apart. I mean, you just think of it for a moment. Would any guy who's absolutely normal spend his life on a boat, a ship? A thing that gets thrown around and bucketed about, cramped up, no room to raise an elbow? Now, that's what sailors do. But then, like I say, sailors are funny guys. And superstitious, too. Like the old sailing ship days, when the wind died on them, they used to whistle. Did you know that? They'd whistle for the wind to come back again. All kinds of superstitions they got. Maybe they ain't superstitions. Who am I to say? I've been on the sea for 35 years, and, well, I've seen some funny things. But I've never shot an albatross. And I know guys who've seen Pelorus Jack lead ships through the straits off Australia. You heard of Pelorus Jack? He was a porpoise, and he used to lead the old tea flippers through the straits, keep them clear of the rocks, and that's true. How about that, huh? And I've known Jonas, too. No, you can laugh, but it's true. I've been on board ships when a guy's come aboard, and right from the start, we've known he's been a Jonah. But the funniest time was with Bert Lombard. Well, it wasn't funny, really. Bert was an American. He came from the Middle West somewhere. He should never have been a seaman. He even walked like a cowboy. But I'm jumping the gun. This was in the 1930s. The Depression was on, and any job was hard to come by. I was a young guy at the time, and I was shipped on a merchantman. Our run was from Sydney to Portland in Oregon, across the Pacific. We were a mixed crew, Australians, English, French. In fact, I was the only Yank aboard until the cowboy came along. Yeah, that's what we called him from the start. The cowboy.
What do you want?
Well, I heard down the pier you was a man short.
News travels fast. Only half an hour since Williams went down with appendicitis.
So the ambulance take him away. Figured you'd need a man.
You don't look like a sailor.
I ain't, but I can learn.
What do you think this is, a training ship?
I know you was due to sail 5 minutes ago. And I know if you don't get underway in 15 minutes, you'll miss the tide. You need a man. I need a job.
This is a coal burner. You know what that means?
I should figure it meant you burn coal, so...
So, Williams is a stoker. You ever shovel coal?
No, sir. But I heard in Mavericks, and that's pretty tough.
Bosun.
Yes, sir?
Come here. What's your name?
Lombard, sir. Bert Lombard.
Bosun, this is the new stoker. Looks more like a cowboy to me. Tag him below. He's taking William's place. Fix him up.
From the start, he was a likable guy. Tall, very tall, which is unusual for a seaman. And he walked with a roll. Well, not the roll that a long service sailor walks with, but, well, a roll like he wasn't used to walking. He was dressed in blue dungarees and didn't wear a hat. But like the captain said, he sure looked more like a cowboy than a sailor.
So you want to be a sailor, eh, cowboy?
Not particularly, but I developed an unfortunate habit when I was a kid. Eating. I'd like to keep it up.
Things tough on shore, huh?
Yeah, tough.
Here you are, down here. Your mess is along here. We're going to sail pretty soon. Time's now 2:00. That's 4 bells in the afternoon watch. You go down the engine room for the first dog.
Well, how's that?
First dog watch, that's from 4 to 6.
Oh.
Then you're off till 8. Then on from 8 till midnight.
Uh-huh.
Except for the dog watches, you've got 4 hours on and 4 hours off. Then off duty for 24 hours, okay?
Well, I'll catch on to it.
Okay.
What do I have to do down there?
Keep the fires going, that's all. That's the first thing a stoker learns. Always keep the fires going.
We were a mixed bunch, like I said, and tough. That night, the starboard watch sat down to supper just after 6. They'd just come off watch. The cowboy was among them. He'd done his first 2-hour trick.
Well, how'd it go, cowboy?
Okay, I guess. Where do I sit?
Williams used to sit there. You're taking his place, sir.
Oh, well, thanks. Hey, pass the coffee, will you?
It's tea. We drink tea on board this tub.
Oh, well, that's okay, I guess. I pass the tea, will you?
Here you are.
Thanks.
Hey, hurry with the tea, will you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Here you are.
Well, you're a new boy, so maybe you didn't know. I'm Clancy. I'm third engineer. That means I get served before you.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I didn't know.
Well, remember in future, things go by routine on board a ship, even a tub like this. We don't change the routine just because some lubber has to dodge from the cops. Get it?
Yeah, you talking about me? I didn't have to dodge no cops.
I seen your sort before. Can't earn an honest living ashore. Get tangled with the cops and reckon the best way to get away is hop a ship.
Well, you got me wrong, mister. I got nothing to fear from no cops.
You calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you nothing. But don't you go calling me things, mister. I ain't done nothing wrong.
That's good. If you want to keep your nose clean, keep it that way. I got no time for traps.
Maybe I should have warned him about Clancy. You must have met that type of guy. Very conscious of the little bit of authority which he has. And with a chip on his shoulder against the whole world. Nobody on board really liked Clancy, but, well, he was big, and he was a bully. The cowboy, though, was just as big. And that first little clash on the mess deck didn't seem to show that he was scared of Clancy. Maybe things would have turned out different if he had been. Anyway, I had other things to worry about at the time. I didn't pay too much attention. The cowboy soon settled into the routine of the ship, and after a couple of days, he was even beginning to look like a deep water man. I was taking a stroll on the foredeck one morning. The forenoon watch is always the time for the hands to catch up on their dobbing or mending. And there was the cowboy making a pretty good job with a needle and thread.
Well, how's it going, cowboy?
Oh, fine. Just fine. Hey, this air is starting to smell real good, huh?
Yeah, we're in the tropics now. Crossed the Tropic of Cancer yesterday. About 100 miles off the starboard side is Hawaii, Honolulu.
Oh, that's a place I always wanted to see, Hawaii.
Oh, yeah?
All them girls, grass skirts, huh?
We shall call in there on the way back, like as not.
What stops do we make before we reach Sydney?
We refuel at the Fijis. Put in at Suva overnight, I guess.
Yeah, I ain't never been out of the States before, you know. Come to think of it, I've never been out of the West before.
Now, you'll find Suva different. You watch your step. You go ashore.
Well, I didn't travel much, but I reckon I can handle myself if any trouble comes.
I wasn't thinking of that. Sailors are always landing in fighting trouble. No, that's nothing. No, for a guy who's hardly set foot out of Oregon, Suva's going to look mighty different. Just make sure you get back on board, that's all. Don't get carried away with the drink and the dames.
We steamed southwest for another couple of days, and the weather got hotter as we approached the equator. The weather got hotter, the air got heavier, the wind dropped to pretty near nothing. These were the doldrums that the old-time sailing ships used to dread. They'd sit becalmed in these waters for days at a time, waiting for the wind to come up again. On deck, it was hot, but down in the engine room, it was almost unbearable. Tempers started to get ragged around the edges, and Clancy, never the sweetest of guys, he started to get impossible.
Hey, you! What do you think you are, a passenger? Stoke that fire, Lombard.
Yeah, sure. I just getting my breath back a minute, that's all.
Don't give me that. I've been watching you for the past 5 minutes. That's the shovel you got in your hand, not the stick to lean on.
Look, I'm working as hard as the next guy. Fella's entitled to a breather, ain't he?
Not when I'm in charge of the engine room.
Okay. Have it your way.
You better watch yourself, cowboy. In my watch, everybody works. Even a tramp on the run from the police works.
Why are you riding me, mister? I told you before, I've done nothing wrong.
I know your sort. Get on with your job and stop wasting time.
Temperature was getting higher, and so were the tempers. I heard about the way things were going between Clancy and the cowboy, but, well, it wasn't up to me to interfere. Mac, the chief engineer, was in charge of things below decks, and I didn't want to tread on his province. It was about one bell on the first watch, 8:30 in the evening, and a fine evening it was. The ship was throwing up a phosphorescent wake, and the flying fishes were bouncing about like paper airplanes thrown by small kids. Mac was leaning on the rail aft, puffing on his pipe and occasionally spitting into the water below.
Well, evening there, Mac.
Well, there, Boosin. It's a fine night, isn't it?
And how's the new handshaping?
Who, the cowboy? Oh, fine, just fine.
I hear that he and Clancy don't hit it off so good.
Nobody hits it off with Clancy, you know that.
Yeah, I know, but by this time, a new man has usually accepted the fact that Clancy thinks he runs the world. I don't think Lombard has.
No, neither do I. But I don't think it's anything to worry about.
I should hate it if those two came to blows, Mac.
Ah, for Pete's sake, Bob, this isn't a school for boys. You can't go up to him and say, look, Clancy's a nasty bully, but just accept it and keep your mouth shut.
Nah, I suppose not. But I think somebody should warn Lombard. He's heading for trouble if he don't keep quiet.
Aye, well, don't look to me. Clancy's a good third engineer. It's more important to the smooth running of the ship to keep him happy than Lombard. You want to fill him a baccy, Bob? I got this from England.
The trouble came sooner than I thought. The middle watch was about halfway through. It was around 2:00 in the morning. Apparently, Lombard had been complaining of a slight fever. According to the other guys in the watch, he was certainly flushed, and he seemed to be shaking a little and a bit unsteady on his feet. He got worse since midnight when the watch had started. And around about 2:00, Clancy spotted him sort of hunkered over in a corner.
What do you think you're doing? Come on, get on with your work.
I don't feel so good. I think maybe I got a touch of fever.
Fever? Come on your face.
I feel plumb bad.
What are you staggering for? Fever? Well, I've heard some things in my time, but I never heard a guy trying to pretend the drunkenness was fever.
Well, I'm not drunk. What are you talking about?
You're drunk? Being drunk on watch is a serious thing, mister.
I'm not drunk, I tell you. I'm sick.
I know you're sort tramp. You never make good of nothing. You're drunk. I'm taking you to the skipper right now. I can smell the liquor from here.
Look, I was feeling bad before I came down here. I did have a slug, one mouthful. I thought maybe to make me feel better. That's why you can smell, but I ain't drunk.
You're coming with me. Come on.
Take your hands off me.
Who do you think you're talking
to? You leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
I'll show you.
Why, you lousy...
You know the way eyewitnesses talk after a thing like that. They all had different stories to tell, but one thing they were all pretty sure of. There was a fight, okay? Both of them must have lost their tempers completely. It had been boiling up for days. Clancy apparently grabbed a hunk of coal and tried to land the cowboy with it. And that did it for Lombard. He grabbed hold of a shovel and fetched Clancy a wallop behind the left ear. Clancy dropped like a stone. Lombard stood for a second, looking down at him, his chest heaving and his eyes wild. He gave a sort of a choking sob, threw down the shovel and ran. He was up the companionway before the spell was broken.
All right, doing great, man. Give him here. Oh, he sure gave him a heck of a wallop. Hey, you better send for the boatswain. I think he's dead.
I was down there in a matter of minutes. He was dead, all right. His eyes had already got that glassy, glazed over look. He was dead, and the cowboy was missing.
He can't have gone far. Sank the Aquitania. Bosun, you take half a dozen men and start from the stern.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mac, take your men and start right forward. Work your way towards each other. Search everywhere. He's somewhere aboard this ship, and I want him found.
Nothing near, Bosun.
Nowhere to go, Bosun.
Hey, hello, Bob. Any sign of him?
No, nothing. You the same, I take it?
From here forward, there ain't a nuke we haven't searched. We better report back to the captain.
You mean to say he's nowhere?
Aye, he's not aboard, skipper.
What do you mean, not aboard? You're trying to tell me he's dived overboard, hundreds of miles from the nearest land?
Well, that's as maybe, sir. He's certainly not aboard, unless he climbed the smokestack and dropped in.
Is that possible, do you think?
Smith was on deck watch. He saw him come out of the hatch just above the smokestack. Let him tell you what he saw. He's just outside, sir.
All right. Let him in.
Okay. Smith!
Yes, sir?
Come in, Smith.
Now, Smith, you're on deck watch when it happened.
Yes, sir. I didn't know what had gone wrong in the engine room, of course, so I didn't think too much of it when I saw Lombard come staggering out of the hatchway.
What happened? Which way did he go?
Well, sir, he sort of staggered to the rail and he was looking over for a moment. I thought he was seasick, as a matter of fact. I shouted something to him. I don't think he heard me anyway. He made no sign. Just kept on leaning over. I started towards him. Then he turned round. He still didn't seem to hear me. He looked wild, sir, like he wasn't all there. Then he ran to the smokestack. The ladder up the stack is a bar from where I was standing, so I lost sight of him.
Did he climb up?
Well, I couldn't say, sir, but by the time I'd run round so that I could see the ladder, he wasn't in sight anywhere.
I see. So he must have climbed up and jumped down into the fire.
He must have done, sir. I didn't see nothing.
All right, Smith. That'll be all.
All right, sir.
Well, gentlemen, if he did jump down, there'd be nothing left of him to prove it.
He must have beat off his head to do a thing like that.
We'll bury Clancy in the forenoon tomorrow. Tell the sailmaker get busy making the shroud.
Aye, aye, sir.
And my log entry will show that Lombard killed Clancy. then committed suicide by jumping down into the smokestack.
Either way, that was obviously the end of Lombard. Cowboys ain't such great shakes on swimming anyway, and the nearest land was well over 100 miles away. If he'd dived overboard, he would certainly never have made it. Even if he'd not been taken by the sharks, which are plentiful in those waters. Clancy certainly wasn't missed much, though the engine room did have to double up a bit until we reached Sydney and could take on another 2 men. And that, to all intents and purposes, would have been that. Except for a funny thing that happened just a few years ago. Master's ticket, and I was skipping a cattle boat. We were shipping a cargo, a live cargo of blood animals from the States to Australia. There was a knock at my cabin door one morning.
Come in. Yeah, Bolton? What is it?
Oh, somebody's made a bit of a blue, sir.
Yeah?
Or miscalculated or something.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the water, sir.
Well, what about the water?
We ain't got enough to reach Silver, sir.
Not enough?
No, sir.
What kind of way is that to run a ship? You know how many animals there were on board. You should have made sure you had enough water.
Well, I thought I had, sir. There's been a miscalculation somewhere.
Yeah. Well, there's no land nearer than the Fijis. So what do you suggest we do?
Well, sir, there is a small cluster of islands about 70 miles southeast, sir.
I don't know of any, and I know these waters pretty well.
Oh, they were only charted a couple of years ago, sir. I suggest we change course and put in there.
Yeah. Is there any harbor?
Oh, I don't know, sir. If not, we'll have to send in boats with barrels.
All right, Bolson. Make the arrangements. But I warn you, this isn't going to look nice in the log. Running out of water in this day and age.
The Tokelau Islands, as they're now called, were known as the Union Islands in those days. Even today, their total population is under 2,000 people. And 30 years ago, it was considerably less. I didn't want to take a chance on running the tub into the lagoon, so I anchored half a mile or so seawards of the reef and sent in the boats. The last minute, I decided to go along the south. I've always been curious for new places and new faces. Maybe that's why I'm still a sailor. Anyway, we rowed into the lagoon and pulled towards the white beach. I don't suppose the natives have ever seen a ship the size of the Maryland before. Anyway, by the time we'd beached the boats, it looked as if the whole population had turned out to greet us. They were friendly, all right, and to my surprise, I had no difficulty in making myself understood.
Now, look, I need water. Water, drink, see? You know, water.
You come with me.
Hey, well, you know, they speak English.
I walked behind the one who'd spoken to me, and the rest of the population fell in behind me and my guys, so it was quite a procession that walked off the beach and into the village compound, which stood about half a mile away. I felt like a guy on Mars being taken to their leader. Once we entered the sort of compound, the population proceeded to seat themselves, and I started to get a bit worried. Maybe they'd learned to speak English from all the missionaries that they'd brawled in the pot. My guide disappeared into a hut and reappeared a minute later with a young fellow who was obviously the chief. He came across to me and held out his hand in an unmistakable gesture.
I understand you need water.
You could have knocked me down with a feather. He was tall, well-built, and vaguely familiar. He invited me into his hut and poured me a drink of coconut wine. I was intrigued, to say the least. We drank, and he smiled.
You are the first white man I've seen since my father died.
Who was your father?
For a long time, there had been a legend that a white god would come from the sea. I suppose my father filled the bill. That's how most of us speak English, too. We don't see strangers from one year to the next. We are right off the shipping routes here.
Your father's dead now, huh?
About 5 years ago.
What was his name?
I don't know. He took my mother's name. But she had a pet name for him, though. Used to call him Cowboy.
I don't know. it was Lombard. This canoe certainly picked up somebody miles from land and just about on his last gasp. For years, if I'd ever thought about the business of Clancy, I would have been certain in my own mind that Lombard had committed suicide by jumping down the smokestack, but... well, now I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old, but I like to think that the cowboy made it. What do you think? In the Transvaal, swept through the Orange Free State like a prairie fire, then set Natal alight and glowing. Now headed for the Cape Province like Halley's Comet is the beer that has won over the taste of men. America's lusty, lively Carling Black Label.